Is this the fight song? No. Okay. Rob sitting on hold with Coach Self's office, or excuse me, Coach Huggins' office. We'll talk to Coach Self in the noon hour. We're going to talk to Bob Huggins here shortly. Because John Denver, West Virginia, they do play this at the end of their games. And why wouldn't you?
I have heard that.
Are you a fan of this song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good song.
It's a great song.
Be fine with this for the rest of the day.
You good?
I'd maybe talk to Coach Huggins.
just sit and spin some John Denver platters?
Be fine.
It's a record for you young people that don't know. Vinyl.
I have records.
Used to play music off of them back in the day. For some reason, I have my wife's car today so she can take the better snow car. And I'm looking around and there's like CDs. I'm like, why? You haven't played one of these in 5 years. Why are they still in your car? Total kid vehicle. All right, let's talk to the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. We are lucky enough to be joined by Bob Huggins. Coach Huggins with us here on our Sprint guest line. Coach, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for the time. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And I'm curious, first, since we've got snowfall coming down here in Kansas City, I think we're expecting anywhere from like 3 to 6 inches today, maybe another inch or two tomorrow. We've talked a lot. You guys obviously have a tough travel schedule a lot of the time. Do you sit around staring at the weather, and do you guys have to adjust your flight plans based upon the weather we've got here in town now?
Yeah, we've done everything we can possibly do to cancel the deal.
You know, Coach, you're a wild card as a guest, as a subject in an interview. I'm always prepared to go a lot of directions, but that one I didn't see coming. Well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Yes, yes. Is it a problem, the weather? Now after ba-dum-bum.
Let me tell you something. Travel for us at large is a problem.
Okay.
I mean, when you get back at 5:30 in the morning, when you're playing in Lubbock at 9 o'clock at night, that's hard. I mean, I don't care who you are or how tough you think you are. That's hard.
Is there anything
our guys got to come back and get up and go to class and, you know? Then you play a few days later. It's hard. There's no way around it.
So what are your travel plans? You are still in West Virginia right now, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So what are the travel plans? How is it working on this trip?
Well, we'll have to wait to see whether we can get the game canceled or not. we're planning on practicing just in case that we can't get it canceled, but We're going to practice a little bit, and then probably I'm sure the scheduler at the Big 12 probably won't let us cancel, so we'll probably be there in tonight.
Okay, coming in tonight. All right, it is supposed to stop I think around 3 or 4 o'clock, so hopefully it'll make the travel conditions easier, and hopefully for our listeners who already have tickets, you will make it despite your attempts at getting the game canceled. You know, it's
well, listen, I'm for the record, I don't feel a bit bad for them. Not a bit.
Okay, fair enough. And you know, probably they would reciprocate with we're not concerned with your struggles either, Coach. So that's probably fair. I think that's fair. Both
well,
sides.
I know you're not. I don't think anybody is. I mean, you know, we sit there and talk about, please don't send us to Lubbock at 9 o'clock at night on a school night. And for about 4 straight years, we are. I think I'm going to start telling them, just please send me to Lubbock on a school night, and then maybe they won't.
Is there nothing that can be done? What do they tell you when they do that? I mean, they know the distance you have to travel. I mean, they just say tough.
Well, there's. I was told there. I forget exactly what it was. I want to say 7,243 possibilities. And for some reason, it just keeps spitting us out every year in Lubbock at 9 o'clock on a school night. I don't know.
How much do you use that as a motivator for your team? I think you are quite the motivator. Is that something that, you know, you put out in front of them and say, here we go, guys. They're screwing us again. Let's go get it done anyway.
It's something to that effect, yeah. Maybe a little more powerful than that.
Okay. I would expect nothing less from you. We're talking to Bob Huggins, the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Coach, it has been a trying year for you. I know the expectations by everybody outside. Basically, I think it's a tremendous compliment to you and your program. Hey, Coach Huggins in West Virginia, we just throw him in the top 25 because even when we tried not to put him in the top 25, he proves us wrong. And so let's get him in there. Let's put him in all the way up at number 13 to get things started. Did you come into this season and listen, you haven't had your full squad on the court at any time this year. So I am aware of everything, of losing Kanate, of the suspension early on for Culver and now in a couple of players, of course, being dismissed from the team here lately. But coming into the year, did you look at it and say, yeah, we're a top 15 team, at least a top 25 team, were you prepared that this season could be as bumpy as it's been?
Well, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at Sagabaugh, at Derek Culver, at Issa Ahmad, at Wes Harris, at Lamont West, Emmett Matthews, and I'm thinking our front line's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we're, a little young in the backcourt, but, we thought we had fixed that with recruiting. And take Sagabaugh out of there, we can't press anymore. Take Beetle Bolden out of there. I don't have any guard on the roster with any experience. So, no, I never saw that coming. I never saw Sags not playing. I never expected Beetle to be hurt all year.
How frustrating, I mean, and I apologize because I don't know that I've heard all your conversations about it, but the fact that Kanate did not come back to the team. How frustrating and disappointing has that been for you?
I mean, it is what it is, you do this for 40 years like I have, you're kind of used to, sometimes when things don't go your way.
Is this a first, though?
I like playing in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Things just sometimes don't go your way.
Just sometimes, though, right, Coach?
Well, once a year. Only once a year.
All right, but is this a new one? I mean, you mentioned 40 years. Yes, things, players, I'm sure a multitude of things, a lot of it that no one other than you and your staff ever knew about have taken players off the roster. But is this a first with how it went with him?
Well, I had Kenyon Martin break his leg. Deshaun Butler tore up his ACL. But those were late in the year. Kenyon was in a conference tournament. Deshaun was in a Final Four. Nothing that was, a season, a whole season ending deal like this.
How much
And I think the worst part is for everybody else, not for Sags, because he has to do what he has to do, but you keep, I'm coming back, no, I'm not coming back, and that part of it, I think, was hard. I mean, for a while, you kind of get used to it, but for a while, I think that was hard.
How much
he tried to come back and played against Pitt, played terrific against Pitt, and really hadn't played since.
And how much does that set you back? Coach Self has been dealing with similar things. Every time he thinks he's got the identity of his team, he's lost someone else.
I know. I feel bad for him. All he does is bring another McDonald's All-American off the bench. I feel really bad for him. Not to have any depth like that.
Right.
I'm bringing a guy off who was second team All-County. And so it's a little different.
It is a little different, so I guess I'll stop with the parallels. And my bad for going down that road. I should have seen that one coming as well, Coach. But how much does it set you back when you're because I know when a guy goes down and you're planning on getting him back, you keep the structure of the team how you want to play with that guy, right? You got to kind of reinvent yourself. That's where I was going with the Kansas side, not necessarily that the depth issue was the same, but that they wanted to kind of play a double post, and they still tried to do that the first time they lost Azubuike. The second time they had to say, okay, we're going four guards. And then now even they've lost guards of late, and so now there's been a little bit more of, okay, we're going to play two posts, kind of shifting how it is. How much does that keep you from being the best you can be when you have to really change the identity of how you want to play midstream?
Well, I think it depends on how much you needed that particular person. I mean, we've lost guys before, but none of them that have the effect. I mean, you lose the best shot blocker in the country, and you lose your only experienced guard, who's a pretty good player. I mean, the two areas that I think everybody tries to fill first are making sure that you have a center who can score close and can rebound, and a point guard who can run the show and knows what he's doing. And we lost both of those.
You lost two more players here just recently, just 3, 4, 5 days ago. How difficult now is it to just to get your just, you know, to even formulate a rotation?
We have to make some changes, obviously. I mean, we lose our best defender, and we lose a 1,000-point career scorer. So you have to make some changes, obviously.
Does it help you when you look ahead to next year and say, okay, here are guys that aren't ready, but now we're going to get them experience? Or does it set somebody back who's maybe not ready to play as many minutes as you're going to have to ask them to play?
Man, when you're 65 like I am, you just worry about being alive next year. I don't know. I mean, you know, in today's world, we've got, I think, 6 guys who are going to graduate this year, but have, I think 5 of them have a year of eligibility remaining. So, you know, in today's world, who knows? I mean, who knows who's going to put their name in the draft? Who knows who's going to be a fifth-year transfer? It's an entirely different landscape than what I grew up in.
Do you still enjoy it?
I enjoy coaching. I mean, I enjoy being around the guys. I enjoy the camaraderie of coaches. You know, we've got a great bunch of coaches in the Big 12. I mean, Bill Self's a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoy being around Bill and, you know, hanging out with Bill when we have the opportunity, and that goes for, you know, the other guys in the league. They're all good guys, you know. They're all good guys, and they're fun to be around.
How much harder is it now, though? You mentioned, I mean, I know you lost a transfer, and now there's the whole second wave of recruiting that, you know, it's almost like you got to re-recruit your maybe 3 waves now. It's just there's the high school recruiting, there's re-recruiting your own every year to make sure that they're not transferring out, and then all the kids that are out there transferring. How much more difficult is it to build your team now?
Well, it's a whole lot more difficult. I mean, you got guys that are putting their name in a draft that, you know, have a hard time being a decent player at the college level. But there's just so many more outside influences, and social media is the, as Jim Herrick would say, the bubonic plague of coaching.
In what way?
It's awful. It's awful. It just, I mean, it kills coaches.
How? Yes.
Because any idiot can get on and make a mock draft, can start rumors that are 100% unsubstantiated, that take a life of their own.
Understand that I wasn't arguing with you. I was curious how.
No, I'm trying to answer your question.
No, I know you are, Coach. I know you are. We're trying to pry some real opinions out of Coach Bob Huggins here.
It's been tough too, hasn't it?
It is. Pulling teeth, man. Pulling teeth like it always is. Bob Huggins, head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers, coming in to play the Jayhawks tomorrow, unless he gets the game stopped. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. 3 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, you'll hear the game. You mentioned the depth that Kansas has. Coach Self even said, hey, we have good depth. It's just a matter of we have to play differently now than the way we were. So that's a challenge. When you look at this team, how does it measure up to some of the other Kansas teams that you've had to come in and face?
Well, they're extremely talented, like all the Kansas teams have been in my era of playing them on a yearly basis. They're extremely talented. They're extremely well coached. Bill's a Hall of Famer for a reason. You know, you're not just playing great players, but you know you're not going to outsmart the guy on the other bench. You know, I think the neatest thing in coaching is when you can walk out there and look down the other bench and say, well, I'm probably smarter than he is. We ought to win this one. That's not the case in this league. I mean, when you look at half of our league have coached a team in the Final Four, more than half of our league mm-hmm. coaches have coached in the Final Four. This is, everybody talks about it's a great league for players, which it is. It's probably the best league in the country for coaching. So when you look down there, I mean, you're basically coaching against a Hall of Famer every time you go out.
You mentioned, let's say outside of league play, how often do you walk out on the court, look down there, and go, I'm smarter than that guy? What percentage outside of the league?
In my case, probably none. But I was talking coaching in general.
Right. Come on. I mean, listen, you're a war horse. You've been around. We're aware of what your resume is. You're going to be a Hall of Fame coach. Should already be a Hall of Fame coach right now, as a matter of fact. You know, how often – I'm just curious. I'm not asking you to name names, Coach, but how often do you walk out there and go, well, that guy ain't got it. You know, this should be our night. Like, I'm just curious.
Recently, not many at all. I don't know. You know, I've done some really dumb things in my life, and scheduling probably is at the top of the list. We probably bit off more than what we were ready for, and particularly in light of the fact that, you know, we didn't have those two guys.
Do you ever give yourself a break, at least publicly?
What do you mean a break? What constitutes a break?
Well, like you know, you're putting it back on yourself. I never, not much lately. I don't schedule well. I mean, listen this is one of those years. I mean, everything that kind of could go wrong has gone wrong. And you've also mentioned, and we talk about it here, you know, when we discuss your team and your football team there at West Virginia, that the scheduling is a giant hurdle, the travel is a hurdle that you guys have to overcome. But
you know, the comical thing is, almost to a man, every coach that has to fly in here to Morgantown says, man, I don't know how you do this trip. Huh? We do it 9 times.
Yeah.
You know, they do it once.
Agreed. Because I know broadcasters bitch about making the trip in, you know, and they do it once, and they're not going to have to go play a game, and they're not going to get a win or a loss next to their name afterwards.
That's only because they can't stay overnight and get per diem. That's the only reason they bitch.
They probably need the per diem more than you, Coach. I'll give them that on the gripe. No, but seriously, I mean, do you have to give yourself a bit of a break? I mean, I know you're not used to this kind of year. We've talked about it. You've had two other seasons like this. One of them was your first year as a coach at Akron at the D1 level. That's you know, like don't you have to, you know, kind of back up, and you and the whole staff not get down on each other and you know, recognize that. I know a coach never wants to say, well, screw it. You know, we had a bad, we just, everything went against us, so it doesn't matter. None of this is our fault. I know you would never do that. You don't reach the success level that you have. But do you have to take a moment and say, all right, listen, let's not kill ourselves here, because a lot of things happen that just aren't within our control.
Well, I mean, I think the honest to God's truth is people in your line of work don't allow you to. You know, we say we lost the best shot blocker in the country, and we're making excuses.
Well,
not the fact that it totally had to change our style of play when you don't have somebody back there to protect the goal the way he protected the goal.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. You know here,
so,
Coach.
So then all of a sudden I'm making excuses for not being able to win.
Yeah. You know, listen, I don't really get that vibe. I mean, listen, you and I have talked for a long time, going all the way back to your Cincinnati days. And so I hope.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your profession.
Oh, I know 100%. That's what I was going to say. You and I go back. So if anybody's listening to me talk to you for the first time, we've talked for a long time. And so that I know you're not talking about me or us here at the program at our show. But do you really feel that way right now? Because I think I kind of sense that there are a lot of people that have been a little bit more understanding than normally you would. That, you know, you've earned, with the 40 years of coaching, the benefit of the doubt.
I think kind of what I said before, that this whole social media thing is brutal, and I don't do it, but people constantly bring it to you, you know, that did you see this or that, or you know, hey, you know, you get three people who like want to see you fired or whatever, and all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own, even though it's three idiots that don't know a pick and roll from a down screen, you know, and so you can't let it consume you, but you can't pay any attention to it. You have to understand really what it is, and you know, go on trying to do the best job you can do.
One more before I get you to our final four, Coach, and that is, do you find that hurts you in recruiting, that you're not social media, that you're not, you know,
probably.
Doing that? It does?
Probably.
Any plans to change?
No.
Didn't think so. Bob Huggins is with us here on the program, the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers, 3 o'clock tomorrow. He is scheduled to be here with his team to take on
kind of ironic, isn't it? We're playing Kansas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's a couple-hour flight, and we're playing Texas Tech at 9 o'clock at night on a school night. Kind of ironic. It's amazing how the computer spits it out that way.
It is. 7,000 combinations, somebody once told me, Coach. Over 7,000 combinations. Can you believe it?
I heard that.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd pick one that wouldn't put us in Lubbock at 9 o'clock at night on a school night. That's all.
I'm sensing a theme here with Coach Huggins. Time for our final four, Coach. Four quickies. It's brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute, community's first and only hospital dedicated exclusively to orthopedics. Coach, I will start you with this. It's snowing here. I know you get plenty of snow there in West Virginia. Are you a snowblower?
Not really? No.
We haven't had much at all.
It really haven't had. It seems every time Kansas comes to town, it snows. But other than that, we really don't get a lot of snow.
No. Well, that's good. When it does
it's
snow,
it's kind of crazy that when Kansas comes, it snows.
Yeah, it is. You know, I guess I don't know how that power happens, but when it does snow, the rare occasion, do you shovel, snow blow, or pay somebody to handle the driveway and the walk?
Pay somebody.
Good job. Proud of you. Curious, you're a basketball, I assume a basketball fan. I assume you keep an eye on the NBA. Does LeBron James win another NBA title?
Yeah, I think he will.
Okay, I like that. You would or would not wager 18-1 odds on Bill Self being the coach of the Lakers for the 1920 season? We saw these odds put out there. He was about the 12th favorite, 18-1. Would you bet on Coach Self at 18-1? Is that good enough odds for you to put some money down?
I can't gamble. It's against NCAA rules.
If you could.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he would want to be.
See, I thought I served you up there. I thought, you know, you'd say something like, boy, I sure hope so.
No. I like being around Bill. I mean, we have a good time.
Okay.
I just don't know that if – I mean, I'm sure he's had opportunities. I mean, I think all of us that have done this long at, you know, a fairly high level have had opportunities. And I had opportunities. I didn't – that's not what I wanted to do. And I haven't really discussed that with Bill, so I don't know if he would be interested or not.
Interesting. Well – I doubt he's going to discuss it with me, so if you want to chat
him
up.
That was better than yes or no.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it always is, Coach. It always is with you. But if you want to chat it up with him and let me know what he says, feel free. Next time we talk, we can uncover that little gem.
Okay, just give me the hotline, and I'll be sure to do that.
When I put you on hold, we'll give it to you, Coach. It's always open. I'll even give you my cell phone if you'd like. Let me ask you this final question. Last time you and Coach Self did get together, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whenever it was, who got the check?
I did.
Is that a lie, or is that is it? I'm going to have Coach Self on later. Will he say the same thing?
Yeah, he'll probably lie. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay. All right. This will be interesting.
Either that or neither one of us did.
Okay. Interesting. All right. We will find out. Coach Huggins, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate it. We always thoroughly enjoy the conversation. Safe travels. Best of luck with the game. And we look forward to talking to you on down the road.
Well, thank you. Give old Coach Self my best.
I will do it. I will absolutely do it. You bet. Bob Huggins. Oh, excuse me. I cut Coach short, putting him on hold. Apologize for that, Coach. But thank you very much for your time. Always very generous with his time as Coach Huggins. And without a doubt, my number one favorite person to interview. Don't ever know where it's going. We'll take a break, react to a couple things that Coach Huggins had to say there next here on the program.